Hare Krishna. So today we're reading First Canto, Chapter 14, entitled The Disappearance of Lord Krishna. And there are two verses now, 32 and 33. 33 is on the board. So I'm just going to recite verse 32, and then together we're going to recite verse 33.
Tatha vanuchara shaure shruta devo dhavadaya sunanda nanda shirshanya yechanye satta varshaba.
Now verse 33 together. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation.
Also, Shrutadev, Uddhava and others, Nanda, Sunanda, and other leaders of liberated souls who are constant companions of the Lord are protected by Lord Balaram and Krishna. Are they all doing well in their respective functions? Do they, who are all eternally bound in friendship with us, remember our welfare?
Purport.
The constant companions of Lord Krishna, such as Uddhava, are all liberated souls, and they descend along with Lord Krishna to this material world to fulfill the mission of the Lord. The Pandavas are also liberated souls who descend along with Lord Krishna to serve Him in His transcendental pastimes on this earth. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4.8, the Lord and His eternal associates, who are also liberated souls like the Lord, come down on this earth at certain intervals. The Lord remembers them all, but His associates, although liberated souls, forget due to their being Tatashta Shakti, or marginal potency of the Lord. That is the difference between the Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva. The Jiva Tattvas are infinitesimal potential particles of the Lord, and therefore they acquire the protection of the Lord at all times. And the eternal servitors of the Lord is pleased to give all protection at all times. The liberated souls never, therefore, think themselves as free as the Lord or as powerful as the Lord, but they always seek the protection of the Lord in all circumstances, both in the material world and in the spiritual world. This dependence of the liberated souls is constitutional, for the liberated souls are like sparks of a fire that are able to exhibit the glow of fire along with the fire and not independently. Independently, the glow of the sparks is extinguished, although the quality of fire or the glowing is there. Thus, those who give up the protection of the Lord and become so-called lords themselves out of spiritual ignorance come back again to this material world, even after prolonged tapasya of the severest type. This is the verdict of all Vedic literature.
Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Miti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadi Shatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So again, I'm sitting here and I feel very much disqualified to speak on the Bhagavatam, knowing that there are so many wonderful, very intelligent Vaishnavas who not only theoretically understood the Bhagavatam but also realized the Bhagavatam. So for whatever is worth, I apologize for that, that I'm, you know, that they are not here due to the current situation. But I would like to request your blessings and your permission to speak. Vancha kalpa turupyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavinebhyo vaishnavabhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. So you can see that from the verse 25 onwards, the Yudhishthira Maharaj was actually asking Arjuna, who came from the mission in Dvaraka, who stopped in Mathura, and he was asking all these personalities about their well-being. How are they? What is their situation? What is their status? How do they feel? How's Krishna? He actually haven't asked yet, how's Krishna? But you can see how the circle of his inquiry is kind of tightening up slowly, 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 right? He started with a big, big circle. He was asking about different personalities which are connected to Krishna, and then slowly, slowly, the circle is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. And in one point, and I think is the next verse which will be spoken tomorrow, that's the point when he's actually going to ask, well, how's Krishna? So we can see, and as was mentioned before, the true understanding of the situation of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Slowly he didn't just jump into it and say, okay, how's Krishna, how he's doing, not thinking about the others, but understanding that Krishna, when he descends with entourage. He descends with the Vaishnavas, he descends with liberated souls, and he also descends with those personalities which Krishna's giving them a chance to kind of purify themselves and go back to Godhead, right? It is mentioned in the scriptures that your last life, you will take birth in one of the pastimes of Krishna, and this in itself will solidify your position as a das, as a servant, and then you go back. You can make this your last lifetime as well. But then he said that somewhere in the different universe, you're just going to appear, have some fun with Krishna, and then just, you know, go back to the spiritual world. So Prabhupada is speaking here about the jiva tattva and the ability of remember. The ability of remembrance of the spiritual spark of the jivas. So I would like to ask you a question. Which are the personalities in the Bhagavatam which somehow or another understood and still know their previous lives? Narada Muni, yes. Any other personalities? Vidura. Did he? Any other personalities which... Jadabharat, yes. Bharat Maharaj, exactly. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, we'll come. So ultimately, what does he mean? Remembrance and forgetfulness is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Matas smritin jnanam apohanam cha. This is in 15 and 15. So, what does it mean? For Krishna's pastimes to manifest, you have to forget. You have to forget who you've been in your previous life. What was your previous svarup? Where you've been in the spiritual world? So you fully can embrace the pastime which will manifest now in this present time. Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, you Arjuna, you my dear friend, you've been here many, many times with me. It is interesting because he said that when I was instructing Suryadev, Vivashvan, you've been present, Arjuna. You don't remember? In the first verse of the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, I instructed this knowledge unto Vivashvan. Then he gave it to Ikshvaku. Ikshvaku gave it to Manu. And Manu gave the knowledge to the human population. So in order to Bhagavad Gita to manifest, what has to happen? Arjuna has to forget. So literally the position of the jiva tattva, even liberated souls, even those which are not contaminated by the modes of material nature, they have to forget. They have to forget. When we circumambulate around the tulsi, right, we sing one Yani kani cha papani, Brahma hatya nikani cha. Right? Even all these sins which you accumulated in the past, for instance, Brahma hatya, I don't know if you want to remember that you possibly done something so horrible in your previous life. Brahma hatya means killing of a brahmana. Right? All these sins accumulated in your previous life will get eradicated. So I was thinking, what is the position of remembrance? What is the position of actually forgetting what you've done in your previous life? So I think Prabhupada was answering in such a format that imagine that you remember all of your disqualifications and imagine that you remember all of the roots of your anarthas in your life. Right? We see how these anarthas at the moment are manifesting in our life, but imagine you know how did you do them, and imagine you know everything about those anarthas. Right? Imagine all those moments you've stolen something, all those moments when you've been insulting someone, all those moments you've been committing so many like very bad offenses. I'll leave it to your imagination. So if you have this burden of remembrance, what will happen? It will give you so much troubles, so many difficulties in this present moment. Therefore, the system of forgetting things, forgetting events, is actually very important in this material world. In the psychology, or you know, in basic medicine, it is said that you have a memory loss. There are two types of factors which are involved in memory loss. That is external or internal. Can anyone tell me what could be external reason you lose your memory? Boom. You had some head injury, you bang your head properly and you forget things. Or the internal could be
trauma.
Alzheimer's. So these are the two main reasons, external and internal. External means that something influenced you to such a degree, mostly it's an injury or even taking some medications, that you lose your memory. So the material nature, the prakriti, works in a similar way. You lose your memory because the substance which seemingly the brain holds the memory, it's dead. It dies with death of your body. But the true memory is upheld in the manasa, in the mind. And same time it is stored in ether. Therefore, what are the three aspects or the three elements which are traveling with you as a soul from one body to another? The subtle elements. Mind. False ego. So in these three elements, all of your memories are upholded, are kind of stored, specifically in the mind. So what happens, you travel from one body to another. And certain bodies, they allow you to reveal memories to be revealed. But in other bodies, you don't need to remember. Why do you need to remember in the body of a hawk or a dog that, you know, you've been driving a car and you kind of, you know, just drive over someone? You don't need to know that. But only in a human life, only in human species, there are always abilities to work on those anarthas and all that negative element you acquired through many, many lifetimes. So the aspect of remembrance and being forgetful is very important. It's a very important aspect of material nature. Otherwise, if this won't happen, then you will be conscious of all of the things which happened in your life. So the anarthas are still there, but due to the process of purification, these anarthas are slowly popping, right? Remember when you first come to the Krishna consciousness, everything is wonderful. Everything is full of colors. Every conversation is absolutely brilliant. Every day is an adventure. Every time you walk and you have a discussion with the Vaishnavas, just new ecstatic things come out, right? But then what happens after, you know, some years and months, years and decades of practice, what happens? Somehow or another, all these anarthas, these bubbles start popping, right? You felt that you are safe in your devotional life, but then just small pop, and things become shaken a bit. So this is how material nature works. As for those who used to play video games, I used to play video games before, you're leveling up, right? In the video game, you're leveling up, and what happens? There are different personalities which oppose you, right? And they become stronger and stronger and stronger, right? You've been level one, but you know, in the in 2 months of playing video games, you'll be level 50 paladin or whatever. And what happens, the boss will become very, very hard to overcome, which you cannot even think about when you've been level one. So this is the same thing in our devotional life. Krishna will not reveal those anartas which are very hard for a neophyte. He won't do that. Why? Because if they will come, you have no tools to overcome that. You have no weapons. You have no sufficient knowledge, no sufficient understanding of those anartas. But as you're progressing in your devotional life, these anartas will start coming, but same time you have much more elevated and stronger tools to face them. So in this situation, these devotees, which their memory is kind of bewildered by the material contamination, is actually for a reason. With the pure devotees like the Pandavas, the reason is that Krishna wants to manifest through them the leelas, the pastimes, right? He wants to show the world that there's actually a choice, there's actually a hope, there's actually opportunity to, in the greatest of misery, to actually do something, to be something else, to be someone better, to actually make a choice which rather than redirects you to the root of material, to the road of material nature, it kind of points you again much more strongly to Krishna. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 7th chapter, 1st canto, verse number 5, it is actually mentioned the reason of why we are bewildered. It is said, due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries. So this directly indicates that your misconception about yourself is the root of the problem. Right? That's why Prabhupada constantly, in high elevated classes or in the neophyte classes, how do you say it? In the classes to a new crowd, he constantly say this sutra. Can anyone tell me what is the sutra of Srila Prabhupada? Literally, Prabhupada's sutra, the most basic sutra of our movement. You're not the body, you're a soul. Just like you have Vedanta sutras, sutra means like a small code which can unpack the whole philosophy. So Prabhupada's sutra was, you are not the body, you are a soul. You are not the body, you are a soul. You are not the body, you are a soul. But this sutra is very interesting because in this small sentence is encoded the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Right? So that's why when we approach someone, either on book distribution or new people come to the temple or whatever outreach we do, we always try to build on this foundation. This small sentence is like the most strongest foundation of our movement. You're not the body, you're a soul. And simply if we can incorporate this philosophy into the lives of others, that's what actually saves the humanity. All the material problems people are facing, specifically in this day and age, in this age of Kali, is due to this. The sutra of Kali Yuga is, I am the body and there is no soul. Right? In the modern age, these young generation, they have different sutras. Have you heard about YOLO? That's their sutra. Yeah, that's the sutra of Kali Yuga generation. It means, it's an acronym for you only live once. Right? So this is a sutra for Kali Yuga generation. You only live once. What does it mean? It's a free passport to do whatever you want. Right? Don't do that. Dude, YOLO. I only live once. Of course I will do it. Just try to study, right? You need to go to university. YOLO. I have to have some fun at this present moment. I'm not going to live twice. So you see, the age of Kali is completely contradictory to the basis of the Vedic philosophy. So what does it mean for us? There's very interesting thing mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifically connected to this verse. And he says that actually even this YOLO as a term or as a philosophy of the younger generation is an opportunity for us to preach. Right? Because you can draw the kind of consequences. If someone acts based on you only live once philosophy, what happens? They will get burned sooner or later, right? It will happen. I do whatever I want, that means, but there's still karmic consequences. You still get punished by it. But listen closely to what Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur has to say. How can the jiva afflicted by the material disease naturally taste the sweetness which is necessary for beginning to learn Bhagavatam? How can the jiva afflicted by the material disease naturally taste the sweetness which is necessary for beginning to learn Bhagavatam? There can be no prescription for the cure without first seeing the disease. So basically, Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur is indicating, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki. So he's saying that this material disease will have consequences. This material disease of your philosophy, of your consciousness, will lead to you being in a point when you're burned. When you are so much materially extinguished that you have no other kind of a cause or no other meanings to live. Can you believe that at such a young generation, young people, which are in universities, colleges, these people are thinking to commit violations against their own body. Younger generation of people, there are so much in difficulties that they literally see no way of life. How much desperate do you have to be? So many psychological surveys and experiments are indicating that never in the past, in the history, there was a time when young generation is so much afflicted by miseries, right? In such a way that they're contemplating about losing and finishing their life. So this is the result of your philosophy. What does that mean? That misery is the greatest opportunity. In this age of Kali, everything is actually inauspicious. Everything is inauspicious. In this section of the Bhagavatam, we've been discussing how Yudhishthira Maharaj was seeing one inauspicious sign after another. This happening. In this age of Kali, everything is inauspicious. But one thing is auspicious, which is beyond of everything. And that is the mercy which was delivered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If age of Kali is a disease, then this Maha Mantra is a pill. It's an instant pill which will give you instant relief to all your miseries and all your difficulties and all your mind concoctions and all your problems. So as Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur is saying, how can you as a jiva, not being affected by the three modes of material nature, basically being diseased, can truly relish the sweetness of Srimad Bhagavatam? Those which are uttama adhikaris, those which are beyond the dualities, they constantly relish Srimad Bhagavatam. So when someone says follow the sadhana, it means it doesn't matter which stage you're in. If you are neophyte, if you're a medium devotee, or if you are uttama, if you're the topmost devotee. So the sadhana is the beginning, and sadhana is also the end. But for different devotees, the impetus to study Bhagavatam is different. For neophytes, is due to their misery. For uttama, for pure devotee, is due to the sweetness of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada gives this analogy, the jaundice, right? Just munch on sugarcane. It's very bitter. It doesn't taste so nice. But what happens? Just munch more, give more, take more. What happens? Bhagavatam becomes tasty afterwards. Right? When you go through, I don't know, fifth canto, when there are just numbers, right? Different planetary systems, constellations, what is the distance between this planet, that planet? It doesn't really taste so palatable. But a guarantee, give it to a person who's a pure devotee and just give him to study. And what he will find is that it's unbelievable. The way that Krishna manifests this cosmos is absolutely amazing. Right? What was that pastime? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked this Brahmana who was ridiculed by other Brahmanas, oh, you cannot read, so how can you relish Bhagavad Gita? He said, when I think that Krishna took position of a charioteer of Arjuna and put himself in a submissive position to his devotees, that makes me cry. He said, you understood. So with the process work, when you look back and you find this was not palatable for me 10 years ago, but now it's absolutely amazing. It tastes like nectar. That means your jaundice, your disease of material nature, being, cured. You cure yourself. And what does that mean? That the process works. That's what it means. So, as I mentioned, that these jivas, they put themselves in a situation where they can manifest the pastimes of Krishna, right? So there are certain roles of associates of Krishna to fulfill his mission. One thing, and I would like to ask you now, are we ready to fulfill the mission of Krishna? Well, the moment someone asks you this question, you say, yeah, I'm ready to go out there, you know, do this, Harinam, you know, Sankirtan, preaching, deity worship, do this, do that, whatever it takes. But in our mind, in our consciousness, the result is that I will be victorious. In the end, there will be ki jai. But I'm asking you now, are you ready to fail for Krishna? Are you ready to be a failure for Krishna? I know this sounds like a contradiction, but we will explain it, we will elaborate on that. Now, do you know any devotees in the Bhagavatam which been devotionally inclined towards Krishna, but they took position of the bad guys? Go. Any personalities? Yes. Vitrasura. Perfect. Wonderful. Any other? Jai and Vijay. Perfect. Anyone else? Who else took the position of a bad guy? Let's say in Mahabharata. Hiranyakashipu. Yes. That Jai and Vijay. Hiranyaksha. Hiranyakashipu. Ravana. Kumbhakarna. In Mahabharata. Who was there? Bhishma. Right? Krishna gives sometimes the hardest roles to his pure devotees, just so he can manifest his pastimes. Because sometimes even the bad guys, they have to be devotees. Because Krishna interacts with them in such a way that you have to have some shakti. And that shakti is devotional shakti. To be a bad guy of Krishna. Interesting. Bhishma Devi is one of the 12 Mahajans. He understood the Vedanta. He understood the conclusion is devotional service. But now, if you look in Mahabharata, he was standing not on the side of the Pandavas, but on the side of the Kurus. He took the position that I will take the blow, I will take the pointing fingers, that look, Bhishmadev, you've been in the assembly when Draupadi was disrobed. Why you haven't said anything? Right? But he's still considered to be a Mahajan. He is a Mahajan. He understood the conclusion of the scriptures. Many different personalities. They took birth in inauspicious families. Their surrounding was considered to be inauspicious. Nevertheless, they came out victorious. So, the devotees, either seemingly good guys, seemingly bad guys, their philosophy is ekadiya. Ekadiya is a term mentioned in the 10th canto in the 7th chapter in connection with the Vrijabhasis. The Vrijabhasis, they had this assembly. There was Nanda Maharaj and there was his older brother Upananda. So in that assembly, they've been discussing what to do. Look at the Krishna. Now he's in the age when, you know, he's very vulnerable. And the result was ekadiya. Ekadiya means one point direction. They said, we will do what has to be done. So same thing. Vaishnavas in the Leelas of Krishna, which are seemingly in the position of doing negative stuff, and those which are seemingly enhancing in a positive way the pastimes of Krishna, their vision is ekadiya. Whatever it takes to facilitate the pastimes of Krishna. In the Purva Vibhaga section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that, but we should not have this kind of this negativity in our heart. Because in this it is mentioned, how can Lord Sri Krishna appear in the heart of a person who is governed by emotions like sorrow and anger? How can Krishna appear in a place where there is sorrow and anger? Even if we don't remember our previous lives, even if we, thank God, don't remember those previous activities which we've done, even with so many anarthas are popping out, even if the process is so difficult, even amongst all those difficulties in our devotional life, we should always remember that we should practice this bhakti yoga in a such a way that internally we're preparing the throne for Krishna to reside on. Because Krishna doesn't reside on a place where there's anger and sorrow. But on the other hand, we should understand that in Bhagavad Gita 2:40 it is said that in this endeavor, whatever you do, whatever you're going through, if it's hard, if it doesn't work, whatever service you can do, that's always beneficial for you. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and the little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So yeah. And for that cause, I would like to recite and mention to you one very wonderful meditation. This meditation is from Sri Manasa Shiksha by Raghunath Das Goswami. And it's a very, very wonderful prayer, and it's a very wonderful meditation, which, because the source of our problems is actually the mind. The soul is pure, but the mind is due to the contamination of the anarthas, is constantly thinking that we are something which we are not. So this is the meditation. It actually focuses on the mercy we can get. So please listen attentively. Even though I am a cheater, the Lord's mercy can drive away my inherent wicked nature. Give me the glowing nectar of divine love and inspire my heart with the process of worship Sri Gandharvika. Therefore, O mind, with pleading words, you should worship Sri Giridhari here in Vrindavan. So it is saying that I am maybe a cheater. Maybe my mind constantly cheats me. Maybe in my activities I'm not always pure, but kindly I beg for your mercy and allow me to associate more and more with the devotees and with the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha Krishna. So there is no diminution, there is no loss. So please have a vision and understand that even if you're covered, if the remembrance is not always there, the true original remembrance is of your original constitution, and that is Dasa Anudas. So if it's still not present in your consciousness fully, then just continue with the process and you will see how we become manifest more and more. So I have 8:28 here. If there are any questions, any points, Hare Krishna.
At 8:30, we want
to... Okay, yeah, okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nita Gora Prema Nandi.